This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. According to national statistics, in 2002, 60 children ages 14 and under died from unintentional firearm-related injuries in this country. And more than half of those children were between the ages of 10 and 14. But the good news is that the number of unintentional deaths from firearms declined 80% from 1997 to 2002. And here to fill us in on the current status of gun safety efforts is Dr. George Starr. He's an Emeritus Clinical Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Upstate Medical University. Thank you for coming in, Dr. Starr.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So let's begin by talking about gun safety. I mean, There are a lot of guns in this country, probably more than most people realize.
That's absolutely correct. In some parts of the country, gun ownership is as high as almost 60% out in the West and even in the South. Even in the Northeast, gun ownership, which had been as low as 25% a few years ago, is now back up to 35% and maybe approaching 40%.
So it's been growing, actually.
Yes. And I think actually some of the recent legislative attempts at gun control have actually spurred firearm purchases and ownership. And one of the interesting areas is first-time gun buyers, which include many women who are purchasing firearms for self-defense.
What's your hypothesis there? Why would that be? Why do you think the legislation is playing a role?
I think people want to be sure they can obtain firearms before it really becomes impossible to do that.
So going back to that whole idea of self-defense or the First Amendment rights, people...
Second Amendment rights,
I meant, yeah. Second Amendment rights. Right. People basically want to have that freedom.
In this culture, in our country, in this culture, yes.
Right. So you're seeing it going up. It sounds like, you say it's an all-time high, actually?
That's correct. Current estimates are that there's at least one firearm for each person in the population, that so it's approaching 300 million at
wow.
least registered firearms,
and that doesn't even come close to speaking about all of the
unregistered firearms.
Wow. So what are the factors that you need to consider when you're thinking about gun safety? I mean, if we have guns everywhere, if they're
mm-hmm.
ubiquitous,
right,
how do we protect our children from unintentional injury?
I think we need to educate ourselves and also to educate our children about firearm safety. One of the important areas is when children are either playing with fake firearms or watching TV, to educate them about firearm safety rules and from an early age. Children, boys in particular in this culture, have a curiosity about guns and will play with them if they find them. And so keeping them locked up, if you have firearms in your home, keeping them locked up is important. Even families who do not own firearms and don't want them may have to educate themselves, because although 50% of unintentional accidents occur in the home of a firearm owner, another 30 to 40% occur in the homes of friends and relatives and neighbors. And so you may have a child who has no firearms in their home but goes to a friend or neighbor and then is exposed to a loaded firearm that they don't know.
It's interesting that you talk about the importance of locking them up. I know that
yes.
As we talk in this this whole concept of preventing school violence, one of the factors that's played a role, obviously, besides children being alienated, unhappy, I mean, the people who become school shooters, is that they have access in some ways to guns.
Yes.
So how do we prevent that?
By educating our adults about making sure their firearms are locked away safely from the kids, and that the ammunition is also stored separately and locked away. And one little trick is to make sure that you keep your lock keys off your home keys is stored separately. Children will find access to guns if they can.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember many, many, many years ago now, I have two little boys. They're grown men now. Even though we tried to, in a sense, dissuade them from being interested in guns and in shooting, because we don't own guns ourselves, they always ended up finding a way to make something into a gun. So boys seem to be very curious and interested in guns, as you had said.
Absolutely. And so as one way to deal with that curiosity, rather than trying to stop and block it, is to actually use it as a way to educate them about safe handling.
So how do you go about, I mean, if you have, I guess first let me ask you, what does the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend in terms of gun safety?
Their recommendation can be summed up in one simple sentence, and that is the safest home for a child is one without any firearms in it. And if life was simple, we could stop right here.
But according to your statistics, that's impossible.
Well, it's not my statistics.
These are national
statistics that firearm ownership is between 40 and 60%, depending on the area of the country that you live in.
So then clearly the key to all of this is education.
Yes, I believe so.
How early can you begin to educate kids? I mean, obviously also keeping guns out of the hands of young children is crucial. But then you had said, actually before we started interviewing today, that if you have a child who is mentally stable and mature and curious about firearms, tell us about that. What would you recommend?
One way when they're in the early teen years and have that interest in firearms is to take them to a range and teach them firearm safety and let them experience some of the recreational shooting sports, such as plinking at targets, or I'm involved in shotgun sports. We're shooting at moving targets. Kids with proper education are often very safe with firearms.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with pediatrician Dr. George Starr, and we're talking about gun safety. Getting back to this whole idea of bringing a kid to a range, do you find that in recreational settings like that, that the safety mechanisms that they learn could carry them through their lives?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about some of your experiences. I know you were involved in the New York State Empire Games in this regard. Tell us about that.
I've enjoyed working with children. I'm a pediatrician, and one of the fun things for me was watching some of the young Olympic-style shooters coming up through the New York State Games, and these were highly focused, very safe youngsters who, in my experience, all went on to very good careers as they grew up. So I think for them, the focus on shooting actually helped them focus a lot of things in their lives.
Right. So actually, it was a positive
developmental feature
in their lives.
And it can be. And that's where this breaks down is that for many people, firearms can be a very satisfying experience, and in others, it can be for others, it can be a terrifying type of experience.
Yeah, especially if they're unprepared for what the firearm does.
Right, absolutely.
If they're uneducated. And kids often don't know the difference between fantasy and reality.
And this is one of the education points that parents need to be aware of and begin introducing into the child's life as they're either playing with firearm toys or watching videos. One other piece that I wanted to mention is that non-powder firearms, such as BB guns and pellet guns and
paintball guns
also can cause serious damage and eye injuries, and they're actually responsible for more injuries than powder firearms.
So that they need, once again, going back to that notion
basic
of training.
Basic firearm safety, yep.
So where does one get that, apart from going to a recreational shooting range? How does a parent, for example, who may not have a firearm themselves, but has a kid who shows interest in BB guns or paintball guns of that nature, how do they get the access to training?
One way would be to go to a local shooting club where there are always people who are happy to share their experience and their safety recommendations. Another is a website that I used in my talk, and it's safekids.org, and it's sponsored by Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C., and it has an excellent page on firearm safety.
That's great.
About distinguishing between fantasy and reality.
That's crucial. Yeah. We'll put a link to that on our website.
That would be great.
HealthLinkOnAir.org, that's one word.
Okay.
Now, you also mentioned that people who are firearm owning families, they need to also prepare their kids not only for this paintball and BB guns, but if they were to go to someone else's home,
that's correct,
where a firearm just might be out. So again, how do they get this kind
helping
of information?
Well, that can be difficult for those parents, but the information is certainly out there. There are a lot of safety sites. Actually, the Shooting Sports Foundation has a website, Child Safe. And there's information there, but it's basically teaching children that to treat every firearm, whether they believe it's real or fake, as if it's potentially loaded, and to notify an adult if they find one, and to walk away from it.
See, I think that's a crucial point. Absolutely. So there are certain safety behaviors that you want to instill in children. Absolutely. If they see a firearm, they have no
Stop, walk away, notify an adult. Yep, four step.
Right. Oh, that's a four step process.
Yep.
What do you think the role of the manufacturer is here, or are the manufacturers playing a more active role in terms of gun safety?
They apparently are playing a more active role in firearm safety. Some firearms are now coming with internal locks where a key is needed to actually activate the firearm. Most firearms being sold today actually also come with some kind of safety lock that can be attached externally to the gun to make it inoperable. So there's a lot of push for that kind of safety stuff.
It would seem to me that they could play a very significant role.
They do, and they are
at
this point in time now. And I think that hopefully is part of the reason that we're seeing a decline in unintentional accidental firearm injuries.
And also, although it's a small, very small percentage of kids who become school shooters, when we talk about kids in general, the fact that we can keep guns out of the hands of kids in general still has to have that positive effect.
Even in firearms owning families, keeping the firearms locked and ammunition separate and locked is important for all of this. Yeah.
So I think there's some good news here, though, because the new statistics suggest that there is a decline. Tell us about that.
I'm just looking at CDC numbers, and they show a decline in accidental injuries, accidental deaths. And that's all very good news.
And as you as a pediatrician really had, in your very august career, had not seen that many direct injuries.
No firearm injuries. I did have one child who had a BB in the eye. Fortunately, was able to retain some sight. But again, so my experience there is limited, at least with the practice I have.
Has been positive in a
sense. It has been positive.
So with the right education and training, as you said, and with the numbers seemingly on the decline, that perhaps this message is getting out.
I believe it is, and should, and needs to continue.
Yeah. Needs to continue. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in, sharing all this very important information with us. My guest has been Dr. George Starr. He's an emeritus associate professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University and a firearm enthusiast of sorts, or a recreational gun.
Firearm user. Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks again for coming in. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.